verses tonight, but keep your Bible handy. I preached this morning on the love of God. It's a compassionate love. It's a commending love. It's a compelling love. It's a constraining love. It's a charitable love. It's a conditional love. And I want to preach tonight on just the opposite. See, the Bible says over in the book of Psalms, it says a false balance is abomination to the Lord. And there's a great part of God that's a God of love, and thank God for that. If it wasn't for the love of God, as I mentioned this morning, none of us would be here. The Bible said in Lamentations 3:22, it says it's because of His compassion that we're not consumed. We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the compassion of God. But there's the love of God, there's the compassion of God, but I'm going to preach to you a little bit tonight on the wrath of God. See, there's a part of God that you and I love. There's a part of God that we love, but there's a part of us that we fear to the Lord. And turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8. The same God that blesses is the same God that curses. Deuteronomy, Genesis chapter 12, he talks about Israel over there. He said, I'll bless those that bless thee, but he said, I'll curse those that curse you. And look at Deuteronomy chapter 28. Here's the Lord talking to Israel. Did I say Deuteronomy 28? Y'all got to read my mind now. Deuteronomy chapter, here we go. 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28. I got a bunch of verses here. I'm trying to cut it shorter a little bit because we got started a little bit later. But I want to give you a few things about it. Deuteronomy chapter 28 verse 1 says this, and it come to pass, if thou shalt hearken, he's talking to Israel, if thou shalt hearken diligently in the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and do all His commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, and thou shalt, if thou hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, blessed shalt thou be in the city, blessed shalt thou be in the field, blessed shalt thou be in the fruit of the body, and blessed shall the fruit of the ground, the fruit of the cattle, verse 5, blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when I goest out. God said, if you do what I tell you to do, you're going to be blessed everywhere you go. Everything you touch is going to be blessed. Come down to verse 15. Verse 15. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all His commandments and His statutes, which I command thee this day, then all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, cursed thou shalt be in the field, cursed shalt thou be in the basket, the store, cursed shall the fruit of the body, the fruit of the... So on and so on. See, the same God that blesses is the same God that curses. The same God that loves is the same God of wrath. He's the same one. And the Bible said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. 2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 says this. It says, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered in the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. John 14, 2, Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. But may I remind you, the same God that prepared that mansion and prepared that heaven is the same God that prepared the wrath of hell. He's the same God. Matthew chapter 25, it says over there, depart from me, you cursed, into hell prepared for the devil and his angels. That is the same God. There's a God of love, thank God. But thank God, there's also a God of wrath. See, He's the same holy, righteous, loving God. He is the same holy, righteous, wrathful God. He's one and the same. He's a balanced being. He's not a negative. He's got a positive. There's a part of God that I love. And let me say tonight, there's a part of God that I fear. And nearly every relationship, to be a healthy relationship, there needs a part that's love and there's a part that's fear. See, my daddy, when I grew up, I loved my dad. I loved him, Brother Ben, but he scared me to death. My dad was a child abuser, I'll tell you right now, brother. I'm not kidding. So was Brother Zito's. I've heard him talk about it. My daddy, whatever was handy, if this thing was handy right here and you got in trouble, this is what you got spanked with. You try to hide all the baseball bats, you know. But say, I love my dad, but I feared him. I love the Lord, but I fear him this morning, this evening. Too many times in our world, we put so much on the positive and so much positive that we've closed our ears and closed our eyes and we've closed our soul off to the wrath of God. And my friend, we need to listen and understand and realize the wrath of God. We need to hear it loud and we need to hear it clear, because there's too much at stake. My friend, if there's not a place called hell, we're wasting our time. The consequences of ignoring the wrath of God is literally, literally our worst nightmare. And I want to give you a few things real quick on it. I want to say first of all about the wrath of God, there's the reality of it. It's real. The Laodicean church age that we live in, you know what we've done? We've turned God into a little fuzzball. God's a little snowflake now. He's a little buttercup, you know. He just sits up there in heaven and sits in his rocking chair with his beard and old grandpapa and thinks, well, you know, boys will be boys. You know how they act. That's not the God of that Bible. The God of that Bible is a holy, righteous God. And nothing could be more deadly and deceitful for men to forget that God is a God of wrath. Turn to Psalms chapter 111. And get Proverbs chapter 1. And I'm going to give you a few verses. We're going to go through about 10 right here real quick. So get your Bible. We're going to go to Psalms, start there, then we go to Exodus. Psalms and Proverbs. Psalms 110. Psalms 111. Psalms 111 verse 10. Psalms 111 verse 10. I'll give you time to find them. Then we're going to Proverbs chapter 1. I want you to see it. This is what the Word of God says. I didn't say this. God said it. Look what it said, Psalms 111, verse 10. It said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's where it starts. Look at Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Look at Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And today's Christians and a lot of the preachers today have removed one of the greatest attributes of God, and that is the wrath of God. And that's why there's no longer a fear of God in America. They've taken it all out and put in a little buttercup, a little snowflake up there. But that's not the God of the Bible, my friend. Turn to Exodus chapter 15. I'll have you run a few verses now. We're going to go to Exodus. Give you a few verses. We're going to go to Numbers. You ought to be able to find that. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. And I could give you hundreds, but I'm just going to give you a few. I want to show you the reality of the wrath of God. And when you get into Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, some of these verses, I want you to remember one thing about this also. You know who God is pouring His wrath out on? The apple of His eye, Israel. That's what He said about Israel. This is the apple of my eye. This is my chosen people. And when they got out of line, you know what God did? Poured the wrath out. Look at Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15 verse 7 says this. And in the excellency of thine, in the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sendest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. So who did that? The God of that Bible. Turn to Exodus chapter 22. There's the reality of the wrath of God. It's all throughout this Bible, friend. Exodus chapter 22 verse 24 says this, And my wrath shall wax hot, and I will kill you with the sword, and your wives shall be widows, and your children fatherless. He's talking about the apple of His eye. Turn over to Exodus chapter 32. The reality of the wrath of God. It's real. It's all through the Bible. Hundreds of places. Exodus chapter 32:10. Exodus 32:10. Now therefore let me alone. He's mad at Israel, telling Moses, that my wrath may wax hot against them, that I may consume them. Say, what is that? That's the wrath of a holy God. Turn over to Numbers. Turn to Numbers really quick. Numbers chapter 11. Numbers chapter 11. Numbers chapter 11. Look at verse 33. You got Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Numbers chapter 11, verse 33. And while the flesh was yet between their teeth, remember that? They kept saying, "Would to God we'd have died in Israel, in Egypt," and God gave them the quail. And it said, "And while the flesh was yet in their teeth, there it would shoot. The wrath of God was kindled against the people, and the Lord smote the people with a very great plague." Turn over to, take your Bible, go jump over to 2 Chronicles. Let's go to 2 Chronicles. You got Samuel, Kings, and Chronicles. Go to 2 Chronicles. Give you a few more. I could give you a lot more. I'm skipping a bunch in Deuteronomy. I'm going to give you 2 Chronicles. So what are you trying to say? There's a reality of the wrath of God. It's all through that Bible, friend. And the wrath of God is still abiding today on Israel. You look over there, that they're the most persecuted, hated people on the planet. You say, why? Because they did not obey Deuteronomy chapter 28, what he told them to do. They didn't do it. You know what Hitler did? I got a book, it's called The Theory and Practice of Hell. And it's, all it is pictures of the Holocaust. And you know what Hitler did to those Jewish people? He'd take their skin and took it and made lampshades out of their skin. We watched a show the other night on Hitler's gold. Hitler had a lot of gold. You know where he got that gold from? He got it from the teeth of the Jewish people. It showed them all these teeth. They'd kill them and knock their teeth out and get the gold out. That's what he did. He used to take their hair. In that book, it shows rooms full of hair when they cut their hair off when they killed, and they use it to stuff pillows with. You say, who was that? That was God's chosen people, by the way. There's the wrath of God. Look at 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 28. 2 Chronicles chapter 28. Verse 11, 2 Chronicles 28:11 says this. The Word of God says, 2 Corinthians 28:11, "Now hear me therefore, and deliver the captives again, which you have taken captive of your brethren, for the fierce wrath of the Lord is upon you." Turn over to 2 Corinthians, 2 Chronicles 29. Turn to 2 Chronicles 29, look at verse 10. 2 Chronicles 29, verse 10. Here it is. It's all in here. I got tons of verses. "Now it is in mine heart to make a covenant with the Lord of Israel, that His fierce wrath may turn away from us." Turn over to 2 Chronicles 34. I got tons of them. I'm just skipping through some. I'm just trying to give you the reality of the wrath of God. It's real, folks. 2 Chronicles chapter 34, verse 25. Says this, "Because they have forsaken me and have burned incense." Who's he talking about? Israel. "And other gods, that they may provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be poured out upon this place and shall never be quenched." Turn over to 2 Chronicles 36. One more. 2 Chronicles 36. Verse 16, this is Israel. "But they mock the messengers of God and despise His words and misuse His prophets until the wrath of the Lord rose up against His people till there was no remedy." That's a great message, by the way, Brother Chris. I got a message when there was no remedy. There's the wrath of God. It's a reality. It's a real deal. And let me say, there is no place to hide or run from God. To me, the funniest... one of the funniest verses in the Bible is over in Jonah chapter 1. And the Bible says about Jonah, the son of Amittai, the word of the Lord came to him and said, "Go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach against it, and rise up." And the Bible said that Jonah rose up to flee from the presence of the Lord. That is dumb and dumber and dumbest, isn't it? Where are you going to go? God can't find you. Like that little boy with the cookies. You remember him, don't you, Sarah Lee? You remember the little boy with the cookies? Mama told him she was making some cookies, and it didn't time to dinner. She made them, and she put the cookies up on the shelf up there. And she said, "Tommy," she said, "now it's getting time to eat. You can have a cookie after you get through eating." But she said, "Don't get a cookie till after you eat." And so she left the room, and you know what happened. He made a beeline for those cookies. He went and got him a cookie, got it and put it back up. She came back. And there's cookie crumbs all over his mouth. And she said, "Tommy, I told you not to get a cookie." But he said, "Mama, I didn't get a cookie." And she said, "Yes, you did. And God saw you do it." And he said, "No, He didn't, Mama. I hid under the table." a lot of Christians are, isn't it? David said one time, he said, if I ascend up to heaven, thou art there, and if I make my bed in hell, thou art there. How many, brother, you can't run from God? You say, yeah, but preacher, the God of the New Testament, he's a nice guy. He's just a little fuzzball, see? I don't know. Take your Bible, turn over to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Go to Romans chapter 3, get Hebrews chapter 10. The same God of the Old Testament, may I remind you, is the same God in the New Testament. Is a God of love. For God so loved the world. John 3:16. But I want to say that God in the New Testament is also a God of wrath. Acts chapter 9 verse 31, it says about the New Testament church. They didn't have the churches throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria. And were edified. It said walking in the fear of the Lord. That's how you walk. Look over Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Sounds like our generation. Verse 13. Romans 3:13, their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they've used deceit. The poison of asses under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet, the swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery in their ways, the way of peace they have not known. Look, here's the problem. There is no fear of God before their eyes. A man told me one time, I'll never forget, I heard a preacher say this, a wise old preacher that knew what he was talking about. He said this one time, he said the most dangerous person in the world is that person that does not fear God. Because they don't have a fear of God, they'll do anything. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Go to Hebrews chapter 10. I want to say there's a reality of the wrath of God. Thank God for the love of God. Thank God for that compassionate love that took Jesus Christ out of heaven and come down this earth and walked for 33 and a half years and died on a rugged cross and shed His blood. Thank God for that. But I'm going to tell you the reason, one of the reasons He went down here, it wasn't just because of love. It was because of the wrath of God. Look over to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 30 says this. Hebrews 10:30. For we know Him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me. Let God handle some of the things. I will recompense, saith the Lord, and again the Lord shall judge His people. Watch this. He's talking to God's people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Look at verse 28. Hebrews 12:28. Wherefore we receive a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby, watch this, we may serve God acceptably with reverence and a godly fear. Look at the next verse. For our God is a consuming fire. You say, what is that? That's the reality of the wrath of God. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. There's a reality of the wrath of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This is a great verse. This is a double-edged sword on this one right here. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Hope everybody got it. Make sure everybody's got it. This is a good one to see here. This deals with us. This with God's people. This deals with Christians. Look at verse 10, 2 Corinthians 5:10. If you're saved this morning, this evening, well, I'm getting my mornings and evenings mixed up. You notice this morning I was preaching to the evening, this morning it's in the night it's to the morning, so y'all figure it out, won't you? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. Watch this. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body. That's a Christian. What according to have done, whether it be good or bad. Now watch verse 11. Look at this. Look at the context. The judgment seat of Christ. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade man that we may be made manifest unto God, and I trust are made manifest in your conscience. Paul said, I'm going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ one day, and knowing the terror of the Lord, I'm going to get out there and persuade some people and try to get them saved. You say, why? Because he knew he's got to stand before God and give account one day. May I remind you, that was the greatest Christian that ever lived. Way closer to God than you and I'll ever be. And that Christian said, knowing the terror of the Lord, I'm going to get out here and try to persuade some people. Not only the terror of the Lord for you and I, but the terror of the Lord for this loss. I want to say there's a reality. There's a reality of the wrath of God. Let me give you the next point tonight. And I'm skipping about half that point. Run out of time. Not only there's a reality of the wrath of God, you find it all throughout the Bible. I could have gave you many, many, many verses. There's the reason for the wrath of God. Take your Bible, turn to Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. You know, there's one thing we forget about God all the time. And there's one thing about God that separates Him from anything and anybody and anything. There's one attribute God's got that nobody else can stand up to. The devil's powerful. The Bible said over in Jude that even Michael, who's the archangel, the greatest of all the angels, it said he wouldn't even bring a railing accusation against the devil. That's how strong he is. But there's one thing the devil can't do, can't get anywhere near. Look at Revelation chapter 4, verse 8. Revelation chapter 4, verse 8. And the four beasts had each of them wings about them, and they swear of eyes. And they were full of eyes within. They rest not day or night, and saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Oh, they're doing that right now. They never stopped doing that. They're at the throne of God right now. And you know what the attribute of God they're saying? Holy, holy, holy. The thing about God that separates Him from anything and everybody is He is holy. And He's the only one. Look at Revelation chapter 15. You know what the wrath of God is? It's the sign of a holy God. Look at Revelation chapter 15, verse 4. It says this, Who shall not fear thee? I fear him. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. That's the reason to fear him. For all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. There's the reason for the wrath of God, because he's a holy God. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him, Psalm says. The holiness of God demands a judgment of righteousness. It demands and decrees a wrath and a punishment. Otherwise, God wouldn't be holy. I mean, can you imagine in our world today? Can you imagine if we did not have any wrath, Miss Stacy, for our laws? What if we said, hey, listen, boys. Don't kill nobody now, okay? Because that's wrong. If you kill people, that's not nice. But we're not going to do nothing. We're not going to put you in jail. You can, you know, but just please don't do it, okay? How would that last? Please, y'all don't break in their house and steal stuff because it don't belong to you. And that wouldn't be very nice. That wouldn't be sweet to do that. How would that work, huh? Hey, we throw them in jail for the rest of their life and throw the key away and they still go out and do it. You know what? Man has enough sense to know with righteousness, if you're going to have a righteousness, you're going to have some wrath on the other end. Otherwise, everybody will be killing everybody. You know what a holy God demands? He demands a wrath over here. Just like man. There's a reason for the wrath of God, because He's holy. The wrath of man demands decrees of righteousness. Turn to Romans chapter 13 and get Proverbs 23. Romans 13. You know, with fallen man, depraved as wicked we are, Brother Don, we at least know we better have a sentence out there for the laws. If we didn't, Brother, this thing, it's bad enough as it is. You don't believe it, because I tell you what, let me give you some money and you ride up to Chicago tonight and let me know how that goes. They're killing about 500 a day or something up there, it seems like. Hey, go down to Birmingham, walk down North Avenue about 10 o'clock tonight. Let me know how that goes, okay? Say, what is it? It's the wrath of man. They can't even contain it. Look at Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. This tells about the wrath of man. It says this. This is the reason for the wrath of God. Same as man, let every soul, Romans 13:1, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Wherefore? Therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Talking about our laws. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. When thou wilt not be afraid, wilt thou not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have a praise of the same. For he is a minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. So he's talking about the government. Talk about the laws out there. And Paul's saying, hey, won't you just obey yourself? You do okay. It's okay. But you get out there, hey, you're in trouble. I heard old Brother Roloff on that. Dr. Lowell, Dr. Grace takes pretty good. Here's one of these guys were complaining, you know, got out of prison. He said he had parole. He had on probation for 5 years. And Brother Roloff said, hell, what's that big deal? He said, they ain't put me on probation for 15 years. I'm not going to do nothing wrong. And Roloff said, if you're not going to do nothing wrong, let them put you on probation for the rest of your life, see? Listen, if you don't break the law, that verse says you're okay. Look at Proverbs chapter 23. There's a wrath of man. You say, what's the reason for the wrath of God? Because God's holy. God has to execute His sentence to keep us in line. There's a reason. Look at Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23. Some of you that had kids, you know what I'm talking about. You know what? If you're going to raise kids, I'm going to tell you how you're going to do it. You're going to have some wrath. You're going to have some wrath. Otherwise, you got a little juvenile delinquent. Like my daddy used to say, boy, you'll be in reform school before you're 10 years old. What do you say? I say, I want to go to reform school. I didn't know what it was, but it didn't sound good. Didn't sound good. He threatened me that all the time after he beat me half to death. Look at Proverbs chapter 23, verse 13 says this. Withhold not correction from the child. For if thou beatest him with a rod, thou shalt not die. But thou shalt beat him with a rod, thou shalt deliver his soul from hell. You say, what do I do? Keep him right. Proverbs 13:24 says, he that spareth his rod hateth his son. He that loveth him chasteneth him at times. Proverbs 29:15, the rod and reproof giveth wisdom. But a child left himself bring his mother to shame. What are you trying to say? I want to tell you there's a reason. There's a reason for the wrath of God. Because God's holy. God is holy. There's a reason with it. Not only there's a reality, there's a reason. God has a wrath of God just like you and I. What'd y'all do with page 8 now? Where's little Taylor at? Little Taylor ran up here one day and took my notes. Page 8. God, if man has the wrath of God, has wrath for sentences, how much more is a holy, righteous God going to have wrath to keep us in line? Take your Bible. Turn over to Job chapter 19 and get Ephesians chapter 5. You know what man's wrath is? Jail. You know what God's eventual wrath is? It's hell. It's what it is. God's final wrath is a place called hell. Man's wrath is jail. And it don't do a whole lot of good for most of them. I see them in the paper all the time. I saw one this last week. He shot and killed somebody and he said a few months ago he's let out of jail for murder. I mean, duh, what's wrong with that picture? I mean, a guy's already been in jail for murder. You think he's reformed now? No, he went right out and shot somebody else. The Job 19, verse 29 says this. Job 19, 29, be afraid of the sword, for wrath bring the punishment of the sword, that you may know there's a judgment. The wrath of God is a judgment of God. It's a reason for a holy God. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6. Let no man deceive you. Ephesians 5, 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words. That's what people do. They'll deceive you. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. I'm going to say, there's a reality of the wrath of God. There's a reason to the wrath of God. And I want to say, tonight, boy, did I ever get these pages messed up. There's the revelation of the wrath of God. Take your Bible, turn to the book of Psalms chapter 9. Psalms chapter 9 and get Romans chapter 1. Psalms chapter 9. There's a reality of the wrath of God. There's a reason for the wrath of God. You know what the wrath of God is? It shows a holy God. Just man is unholy and ungodly and vile and desperately wicked and deceitful above. The Bible says we still have enough sense to have laws in wrath to try to keep people in line. Look at Psalms chapter 9. Psalms chapter 9. I preached on this a while back. Psalms chapter 9 says this. 9:16, the Word of God. The Lord is known by the judgment which He executeth. Isaiah chapter 33 verse 5 said this. It said, the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is His treasure, is what it says. There's a revelation of the wrath of God. Look at Romans chapter 1. Go to Romans chapter 1. Get Romans chapter 9. And I can give you a lot of verses here tonight. Romans chapter 1. There's a revelation of the wrath of God. Look at Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Paul says this, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed. Watch it. From faith to faith. Or what? The righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Watch it. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness and ungodliness and unrighteousness. You say, what is it? There's the revelation of the wrath of God. Turn to Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. And go ahead and go to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 1. Romans chapter 9. Talking about the revelation of the wrath of God. There's the reality of the wrath of God. It's real. It's there. It's all throughout the Bible. And there's a reason for the wrath of God, because He's holy. If God wasn't holy, there'd be no reason for the wrath of God. And look at Revelation chapter 9, verse number 20 says this. Revelation 9:20. Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, what hast thou made me? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor, another unto dishonor? What if God, watch this, willing to show His wrath and to make His power known, endure with much long suffering the vessels of wrath, fitteth for destruction, and that He may make known the riches of His glory. You say, how? By the revelation of the wrath of God. There's a revelation of the wrath of God. Turn to Revelation, book of Revelation, chapter 1. You know what the book of Revelation is? You know what it's about? You know what the subject of the book of Revelation is? It's the subject of the wrath of God. That's what it's about. You know, the last book in the Bible, Brother Ben, when God got ready to write the last chapter and close out His book, you know what He wrote about? He wrote about the wrath of God. What it's about. Look at Revelation chapter 1. Look how it begins. Revelation chapter 1, what it says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show him servants things which shortly must come to pass. Look at verse 3. Verse 3 says, only book in the Bible that says this. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep these things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. You know what this book is about? It's about the wrath of God. 13 times in the Bible, in Revelation, we find the wrath of God. 13 in your Bible is connected to rebellion. It's connected to sin. Take your Bible, turn to Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter... Boy, I must be on that Jack's hamburger or something right now. Maybe that steak dinner, maybe that pork chop that Miss Jana had. Look at Revelation chapter 6. Take you through it. Revelation chapter 6, look at verse 16. And said of the mountains and rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of Him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath... For the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of His wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Look at Revelation chapter 11. Turn to Revelation chapter 11. Revelation chapter 11, verse 18. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, the time of the dead, that they should be judged. There's the wrath of God. Turn to Revelation chapter 14, Revelation 14, verse 10 says this, "The same shall drink the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture, and the cup of His indignation shall be tormented with fire and brimstone." Turn to Revelation chapter 15, verse 1. Revelation 15, 1, "I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, which is them filled up the wrath of God." Look at Revelation chapter 15, verse 7. "And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God." Look at Revelation chapter 16, 1. "And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth." Look at Revelation 16, verse 19. "And the great city was divided in three parts. The city of the nations fell. And great Babylon came in remembrance before God and given to her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of His wrath." Flip over to Revelation 19. Revelation 19, you say, what are you trying to say? I'm telling you, when God wrote the last book, when He wrote the last chapter, Brother Chris, when He put out the revelation of Jesus Christ, you know what it was about? It was about the wrath of God. You say, why? God's trying to warn us. God's trying to warn us. Look at Revelation 19, verse 15 says this, "And out of His mouth goes a sharp two-edged sword." This is the Lord. "That with it He should might the nations, with rule them with a rod of iron, and treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God." You say, what's that book about, preacher? It's about the wrath of God. Flip back to Revelation chapter 14. Go back to Revelation 14 real quick. See, what are you trying to tell? There's a revelation of the wrath of God. When God got ready to reveal Himself, when He wrote the last book of that Bible, you know what He wrote it about? He wrote it about the wrath of God. You say, why? Because it's serious. And God's trying to warn us. Look at Revelation chapter 14, verse 19 says this, "And the angel thrusting his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine to the earth and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God." Watch it. "And the winepress was tried without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even to the horses' bridles, by the space of 1,600 furlongs." You know how big that is? A horse's bridle is about 4 feet. You know what 1,600 furlongs equal? 200 miles. You know what the wrath of God there? He said there was blood 4 feet deep for 200 miles that day. You say, you believe that, preacher? You better believe I believe that. You say, what is it? That's the fierceness of the wrath of that God in that Bible, brethren. There's a revelation of the wrath of God. Take your Bible, turn to one more place. Romans chapter 2. On this point, Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, verse 4 says this. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about the wrath of God. There's a reality of the wrath of God. There's a reason for the wrath of God, because He's holy. If He wasn't holy, if He's a devil, the devil's not holy. That's why he puts up with stuff. God is holy. He has to have wrath. He has to have a judgment. And then there's the revelation. Look at Romans chapter 2, verse 5 says this. Verse 2, 4. "Oh, despisest..." Romans chapter 2, 4. Romans 2, 4. "Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance." Isn't that good? Look at the next verse. But, you know how God gets our attention before we get there? "But, after thy hardness and impotent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and the revelation." That's what we're talking about, the righteous judgment of God. You know when God speaks to you and you're able to go to the goodness of repentance, when God reveals to you that wrath that you're going to hell, then you start looking for that goodness of God. There's a revelation of the wrath of God. I'm going to give you one more point. One more point. Turn to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. And go to Proverbs 14. There's a reality of the wrath of God. It's real. It's real. There's a reason for the wrath of God. God is holy. It's that simple. And there's a revelation of the wrath. You know how God speaks to us? Psalms chapter 2 verse 5. It said, "He speaketh to us in His wrath." You know when we have these tornadoes, They amaze me. And I told you before, that's some of the greatest revivals we've ever had. When that tornado came through here and wiped out a bunch of places, you know what a lot of people did? They got hold of God. You know what? There was the revelation of the wrath of God when that came through. They weren't calling to the Republicans or the Democrats or none of those guys. They were calling over to God. You know what it was? It was the revelation of God. They started getting hold of God. When wrath comes through and those tornadoes come through and things come through, you know what people do? They start looking for God. That's how He reveals Himself. The Lord is known by the judgment which He executeth. Look at Hebrews chapter 6. Not only that, there's a reality of the wrath of God. There's the reason of the wrath of God. And there's a revelation. And there's also one thing I want to give you tonight. There's a refuge. There's a refuge. Thank God there's a refuge. And there's only one. Look at Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, Proverbs 14. Just going to give you a few verses. You know these. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 17 says this: wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise immutability of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath, and by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. Hallelujah! God can't lie. He's not a politician, that's for sure. We might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. You see, there's a refuge. Proverbs 14:26. Proverbs 14:26 says this. Say, what is that fear? There's a refuge, my friend. There's a refuge from the fear of God. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 26 says this. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and His children shall have a place of refuge. Where? In the fear of the Lord. There's a place of refuge. And I'm going to tell you this tonight. There's only one place that you can find refuge from the wrath of God. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Get 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. There's only one. There's only one. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. There's only one refuge from the wrath of God. And that's 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 8 says this. But let us... That ain't it. Yeah, that's it. 1 Thessalonians 5:8, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love for a helmet of hope of salvation. Watch this. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but what? But what? But to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one refuge from the place of the wrath of God, and that is a place called Calvary. That's it. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That's that love of God. That's where that refuge is. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. And I'm going to tell you, that's what this church is about right here. And as long as I got anything to do with it, this church has one goal, it has one aim, it has one thing, and that's try to lift up Jesus Christ, and that's try to get people out of hell with what we got. That's it! We don't have no rumble classes. I don't even know what that is. I know I worked with this girl. She went to Hunter Street Baptist, and she was one of the accountants there one day, and I was working with her late, and we was trying to get some stuff to you. She said, man, we got to hurry, we got to hurry. She said, I got to get to my rumba classes. I said, where are they? She said, here at my church, Hunter Street Baptist Church. I said, I'm going to have to look that up in the Bible where it says that in there. We don't have rumba classes. We don't have Starbucks. We don't have quitting classes. We don't have knitting. We don't have Super Bowl Sunday. But I tell you what we got. We got some tracks back here. Tell you what we got. We got some buttons back there to try to help some people get them out of hell. I tell you what we got. We got some bumper stickers back there. Tell you what we got. We got some hats up here. I tell you what we got. We got some signs that stand on the street trying to get them out of hell. I tell you what we got. We got 10,000 get out of hell free cards back there. Because I'm going to tell you, that's what this church is about. We're not. You say, I'm not trying to build a church, by the way. You say, I'm glad you're not because you're not doing a good job with it. I'm not trying. If I wanted to build a church, I know how to do it. All you have to do is bring everybody in, kiss them, hug them, tell how pretty they are, how wonderful they are, and walk out with a hand like that. And in a couple of weeks, you could have this building fill up. You preach something like I preach and try to get people out of hell, you know what? Some of them be going out that door. Because that's what we're about. That's what this thing's all about. That's what it's about when Brother Cooper was here. That's what it's about before he got here. And that's what it's about now. That's what we're trying to do. You say, why? Because of the wrath of God. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, go to the book of Jude, right before Revelation, Jude. Go over there to Jude. Jude. I love the book of Jude. You know why? It's short. It's for Southerners. Which book are you going to read tonight? Well, I'm going to read. I tell you, I'm going to go through the book of Jude. I think I'll go through 1 John chapter 3 over there, you know. Those are biggies, you know. I'm going to memorize. I remember one of the guys down there at homeless, he said, I memorized the verse, preacher. I said, what? He said, I memorized John 11:35. I said, yeah, Jesus wept, right? Shortest verse in the Bible. Everybody don't know that one. Look over 1 Corinthians chapter 9, book of Jude. I'm about through now. We're letting the crowd leave, Jax. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I tried to do a little shorter on Sunday night, but this one just went a little longer. I skipped about three quarters of it. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 22. Here's Paul talking. He said to the weak, became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things all men, that I might by all means save some. You see, it's up to us. You know what this church is trying to do? We're trying to save some. Look at the book of Jude. Turn to the book of Jude. That's all we're about in this church. We're not a member of association. I've had them come in the door and they'll shake my hand, Brother Chris, and they'll say, who are y'all associated with? You know, I always tell them, we're associated with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a good answer. I thought they don't like that. They want me to say, well, we're associated with the St. Clair Baptist Association. We're not associated with anybody but the Lord. Amen? We want to keep it that way. We're here trying to get people out of hell. We're trying to tell them about that right there. Look at Jude chapter. Only one chapter in it. Sarah Lee, aren't you going to help me out up here? You got to help me out every once in a while. Jude, verse 22. I love this verse. Y'all know this verse. And of some having compassion, making a difference. And others stay with fear, pulling them out of the fire, having even the garment spotted by flesh. That's what this church is about. That's what it's going to stay about as long as I have anything to do with it. We don't have a little clicks and clacks and camps. We got tracks. We got buttons. Y'all come up with something else we can try to reach people with. I'm all game, man. Miss Samantha, if you can come up with something. I mean, we can come up with vests lightened up. Or I'm on it. Joe the Turk on that general Salvation Army, y'all remember reading about him. He had Jesus on one foot, saved on the other. And Jesus saves. I'm in it. See, what are you trying to do? Trying to pull them out of the fire. They're all out there. We went to Walmart Friday night. I had a great time, Brother Zito, Brother Chris. I had a great time. I can't hardly take much of it because it kills my legs. That thing is so hard. My knees get hurting out there at Walmart, man. I don't see how those poor ladies at the cashier that's 70 years old handle it. They must be tough. But we were there about an hour. Got to talk to a lot of people. Boy, it was amazing. Talked to one couple there. They were getting married. They already had two kids. Had one on the way. And they were there. One of the girls' name was Courtney. He was Frankie. And I talked to him, you know. And Frankie said he was saved, grew up in church and everything. And Courtney, she was in her 30s. And so I said, well, y'all got any kids? They were... Oh, I found out the best place to talk to people is the toys and the pet supply. Because they're into toys, they got kids. I say, well, tell me about your kids. You got some kids? Oh, yeah. You go to the pet, say, you got a dog? What kind of dog? Yeah, boy, they'll tell you all about that dog. You'll be there for a week with them. Kind of talk to them about your kids. They say, we got two. And they said, we're about to get married. I said, well, that'd be a good idea, I would think. She said, we got another on the way. I said, yeah, that sounds like a better idea. Y'all need to get married. He said he was saved and everything, Frankie. And the little girl, Courtney, she was a cute little girl. She talked with her hands like they do, you know. And had the valley lift. You know how that goes, Miss Samantha. You know, like this and like that, you know. And I said, are you saved? She said, well, I don't really believe like that. She said, I just want to try to be positive, see. She said, I believe the way to reach God is positivity. She said, I want to be positive about everything. And I asked her, I said, well, let me ask you this. Do you know you're a sinner? She said, I don't like to talk about negative stuff like that. And I said, well, do you know, have you ever told a lie?
You do your hand.
I did too. I said, you ever told a lie? And she said, well, everybody's told a lie. I said, well, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, it said, all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. And she said, I didn't know that. And I said, let me tell you a little bit about God. I said, see, God is holy. And we're sinners. I said, one lie will send you to hell. I said, the Bible says there's a place called hell. And I said, one lie will send you to hell because God is holy. And I said, you cannot get in His presence with one sin on you. And I said, but here's the deal with God. I said, God loved you so much, Courtney. So much that He sent His Son down to this earth. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And He came down this earth. And He was beaten. He was spit upon. And He died on a rugged cross. I said, for one reason. To keep Courtney out of hell. I said, because His blood paid for your sins. And she says, and her whole face changed. You could see the Holy Ghost on. She says, I see what you mean now. I said, Courtney, wouldn't you like to get saved right now? Right now? Right here at Walmart. Let's do it. She says, I don't know. I said, we can do it right now. I said, God will save you. Just like that, right here. And her husband, he was there. And Frankie, I said, he's saved. He said he's saved. He'll pray with you. I said, we could do it right now. And she kept putting me off. And I asked her, I always tell everybody, I said, Courtney, I said, how old are you? She said, 31 or 33. I said, Courtney, in those 31 years, how many times in your lifetime has anybody ever came up to you and told you the plan of salvation like I did? She said, you're the only one. She said, it's the first time I've ever heard it. And I said, it'll probably be the last too, the way this world is. I said, you need to do this right now. Couldn't get her to do it. Couldn't get her to pray. Couldn't get her. I gave her a track and I said, here's my phone number on this track. If you'll call me anytime, I'll pray with you and you and your husband, but you need to get this straight. But you know what? That's what we're about right there. That little girl was so messed up. It was unbelievable. But the Word of God just went in there like a sharp two-edged sword. Boy, and I could just, Samantha, I could see it whole face and whole complexion. That little bouncing kind of slowed down a little bit. She said, I can see what you're talking about now. That's what it's about. You say, what is that, preacher? That's the wrath of God. That's why we do what we do. That's why we go stand out in the hot sun sometimes, get about knocked down by cars wearing one of those silly things. You say, why? The wrath of God. Why we do it? That's why we go to the Walmart. I'd rather take a beating just about and walk around Walmart for an hour. That's the tribulation to me, man. When I go to Walmart, I go in there and get the first thing I need to get. My wife says, you want to take a coupon? I should say, I don't take coupons. I don't wait that long for a coupon. I'm going in and grab the first thing that it looks like what we're supposed to have and go out the door. And here I am 1 hour walking around Walmart talking to people. I told Brother Zito and Chris several times, I said, man, I didn't know Walmart sold all this junk in here. I didn't know they had it. We go to the home this Tuesday night. Brother Zito led a man of the Lord last week down there, Carlton. We led about seven or eight now down there. We get down there and go 5 o'clock traffic going downtown. Everybody else is frustrated going out here. Us dummies are going in. You say, why? I'm trying to tell them about that refuge. I'm trying to tell them about it. Father, we thank you, Lord, for being so good to us, Lord. Thank you for our salvation. I know most of these people in there are saved. Lord, I hope they all are. You know. Father, this was just kind of a message to remind us, Lord, of your wrath. Talk about your love this morning, Lord. Oh, it's wonderful. That song the ladies sung tonight, the love of God is greater and greater than anything we can think of, Lord. But Lord, on the other side, there's that wrath, Father. There's that place called hell. There's a wonderful place called heaven that's full of the joys and the blessings of God. But then there's that place called hell that's full of the torments separation and the pain, the fire of God, Lord. Father, just pray you'd help us as we go out here tonight, whatever we may do during this week, God, help us to be faithful. Help us, Lord, as Paul said, I might by all means save some. Help us like Jude. Help us with some having compassion, making a difference to others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. Help us, God. Help us to look for that soul nearest hell, Lord. Oh, Lord, I'd love to tell people about you more than anything on this earth, God. It's the joy of my life, Lord. Lord, I pray for that little girl, Courtney, the other night at the Walmart. I couldn't quite get her, Lord. Couldn't quite get her in, God. But I pray, God, maybe she went home and prayed. Maybe she took that track I gave her and read it. Maybe, Lord, she met you later that night. I don't know, God. But I pray if she didn't, Lord, I pray right now you'd be convicting her and dealing with her, God. Give her no peace. Put it on her heart. Put it on the heart of her husband, Lord, to wake up and be a witness to her. Lord, we love you tonight. Pray your blessing upon the week and the night coming up. We love you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. All of you that can make Jack, come on out now. I'm telling you.